Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
In communities across the country, hourly Amazon employees earn an average of over $23 an hour with opportunities to grow their career and their paycheck. Learn more at aboutamazon.com.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Caller 10-800-636-1067. Congrats, you're winning a pair of tickets to see Lynyrd Skynyrd and Foreigner. It's the Double Trouble Double Vision Tour, Saturday, July 25th, Jiffy Lube Live. Tickets are on sale now. For tickets and more event information, go to thefandc.com/events, courtesy of Live Nation.
We are Grant and Danny, and we're exclusively sponsored by the law firm of Condori and Morab. Estate planning, elder law, real estate transactions, probate administration. Their attorneys are always there to protect you and your family's assets. Schedule a free consultation with their team today by visiting kmlawyers.com. And be sure to let them know that we sent you. That's kmlawyers.com. And another note, you can send them a picture of your eyes, and they'll pass it on to somebody to tell you if you have pink eye or not. That's something they do for you.
This is the type of stuff they do to help you out.
That's the kind of service they perform.
Everybody needs a K&M in their corner, in their life, I think. I'm looking forward to going to Minnesota with those fellas and the crew this week. But before we get to the Beltway Blitz, going to cover the NBA, the NFL, the Commanders in short order here. I wanted to get to the breaking news on the Commanders for just a second, right out of the chute, which is that they listed Jaden Daniels a full participant in practice today. Feels like a really, really big development. Now, I guess this doesn't mean inherently that he's been cleared for contact, but he's gone from being limited in every other practice he's done since the beginning of last week to now being a full participant today. That is a very, very good trend in the right direction, obviously.
That's a big deal, right? Now, you already said it. Thursdays are not exactly like, you know, smashing helmets and popping pads.
It's the number two. I mean, I would say Wednesday and Thursday are the two biggest practices of the week. So if you're
in terms of physicality,
today,
yes,
absolutely. Like and length and everything else. Now, I don't know. This staff might do it a little differently. Seems like Thursday might actually be their biggest practice because Wednesday is the day they give everybody off. Like, hey, is anybody feeling anything? Anybody have a finger hurting?
You played in the league at all?
A little bit tired. Who's been in the league for more than 3 years? Who's done it? Who's done three seasons? Who's done time? Who's done 3 years in the league? Who's done it? You don't have to practice today. That's what they do. And so today feels more like a, all right, let's have a real practice. And he was listed as full go.
That is a big step. Are you changing at all? Are you wavering? Does he play this weekend?
I am moving. So I'm taking the slider.
Yep.
Which last week, all week, was at 90 that he was going to play or 80 that he was going to play. That I had moved down to 30 or so the last couple of days. I'm moving it back up to 50%.
How about it?
Are we going to see 5 versus 9? 9 on the field for the Minnesota Vikings against 5 for the Washington Commanders? Is that what's going to happen?
I'd be a lot more excited if that was the case. Yeah, I my swings have been very wild. I was 50 and a half the other day, and then yesterday when it was... They sounded like they were couching it so that he wasn't going to play, and they left it so open, and Dan Quinn was trying not to say the thing, and instead of just saying the thing, he wasn't saying the thing, but it's what he wasn't saying and how he was saying it or not saying it, as the case was. I was down to like 10%. I'm up in the I think, in the 40s.
More on Daniels in just a couple of minutes in the Beltway Blitz. Let's start you off on the ice. A 7 spot for the Caps last night in San Jose. They get 2 wins and 2 nights in California. They've won 6 in a row. They've ripped off 9 of 10. Washington's rolling. A 4-goal first period. Maybe their best period of the season. Ryan Leonard had 2 apples and 2 goals on a 4.6 shot night. He was the best player on the ice yesterday. Alex Ovechkin scored twice, including just his second power play goal of the season. Doggy Duhaime had a shorthanded goal. Doggy got a feed. No-look pass from Alexi Protas that was sent from the heavens.
That was splendid.
Just an absolutely remarkable play. The Caps looked great last night in front of Charlie Lindgren, saved 23 of 24 shots. The only Sharks goal, first goal as a Shark for old friend Dmitry Orlov, by the way.
Good to see him. It was 0-0, and there was a robbery from Lindgren. I don't know if it was the side of the net, the post, Lindgren himself. I don't know. I don't care. It looked like a really great sprawling save, great activity. From that moment on, it was Capitals, 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 and then some more Capitals. And then when the Capitals were almost done, it was like seven more Capitals times. All the scoring chances, they were fantastic. Without John Carlson last night, second game of back-to-back, that ain't easy.
Capitals do have a third straight in California tomorrow. They will play at 10 o'clock East time against the Ducks. Hashtag late night Caps. And then they come home on Sunday for a night piece against the Columbus Blue Jackets at 7 o'clock this Sunday, hosting the Jackets. All right, there you go. That's your hockey. Let's keep it moving. Talk some football. Jarrett Bell of USA Today Sports joins us to get things going on the NFL. Hey, Jarrett, before we get into the league currently, correct me if I'm wrong. You are the D.C. Hall of Fame representative, right?
Yes, I am.
Very cool. That's quite an honor. That's awesome. So we talked a lot on the show yesterday about Joe Jacoby not getting in again, which just seems ridiculous. Were we close, do you think, to him being a finalist? What can you tell us about this process? I'm curious, you know, when someone like Jacoby doesn't even make the finalist list, like who whittles that list down before you guys even get to vote? How does that work?
Yeah, good question, because, Grant, they've changed the process again, and so this subcommittee, you know, there's always been a seniors subcommittee that takes the seniors candidates and whittles them down, as you put it, and then presents them to the full selection committee. So I am not on, was not on the seniors committee. I've never been on the seniors committee, to tell you the truth. And so once you get out of the modern era pool, you go to that committee, and that's where he is now. Now, I'll say that, you know.
So can I ask real quick to clarify? So nobody's voting.
I think he was close. Obviously, I'm sorry to cut you off,
Brent.
Yeah,
go ahead.
I think he was close to being one of those three, and I was actually surprised that he didn't become one of the three finalists, right? The only thing I can say to that is that you could talk to people in Kansas City that'll tell you, well, why isn't Otis Taylor in that group, right? And Roger Craig with the 49ers, who is one of the finalists. And so I think the short answer is that there's a lot of competition. The more convoluted, you know, answer or question is about, you know, how does a guy not get to that point? And like I said, there's just so much competition that, you know, sometimes it's tough to explain.
Yeah, I don't want to besmirch anybody else. None of the other guys are four-time Pro Bowlers, three-time champions, and two-time All-Pros. Having said that, again, I don't even want to argue against them. I was just looking for, and you gave me my answer. It's not like he's, like, people are voting, and he's not getting enough votes. He's not even getting to the point, really, where people can vote. Is that fair?
With the whole committee. Now, the
Correct.
Seniors committee, they will vote to advance the three finalists as they did. So they'll have a vote within a vote, if you will. Same thing for the coaches committee, same thing for the contributor committee. And now the full committee, which we still have to cut down the modern era players from 26 to 15 finalists. And then once we get the whole slate, we'll have our meeting before the Super Bowl, and that's where the next class will be announced. But, you know, I know it can be frustrating, especially, you know, I feel for a guy like Joe Jacoby or a guy like, you know, Roger Craig or, you know, any of these other candidates who have been in the mix for a number of years, because there's nothing else they could do as players, right? I mean, they've put their bodies on the line and had their blood, sweat, and tears and had their accomplishments and all of that. And there's nothing they can do except for, you know, wait and see what the results are. And when you talk about, there's like 382 Hall of Famers, right? Period. Including contributors, coaches, and the whole thing. And, you know, going back 100 years, man, there's been over, you know, what, 20, 30,000 people who have played in the NFL. So it's a very select number just when you do the math. And the competition is just incredible. It really is, because even if you look at the guys that we are considering right now for the modern era players, I mean, there's guys who have been in that mix for, you know, 6-7 years and still haven't advanced to that point.
Jared, let's talk about the big one tonight in the NFC. Detroit, Dallas. It feels like not quite an elimination game, but almost, especially for Detroit, just given what's going on in that division. Dallas, I still think there might be a pathway, but the window might close. Just kind of give me your thoughts on this one and where these two teams stand.
Yeah, I think the Cowboys are playing better football right now than the Detroit Lions, which is really weird to say, right? When you think about how good Detroit has been over the past couple years. But let me just say a couple things about the Lions. Being a Detroit native too, and, you know, someone who has followed their path over many, many decades, it's kind of like, you know, they had the window last year at the number one seed, and people in Washington know what happened to that. And the year before, where they're, you know, winning in the championship game at San Francisco, and you think that you'll just come back the next year and pick it up. And I think all of this kind of illustrates that it's not automatic that you're going to just get right back. And so you'd better cash in to that window when you can. And I remember Dan Campbell, after they lost that game in San Francisco, you know, two seasons ago in a championship game, saying, hey, guys, I don't know if we'll ever get back to that point again. Now, he didn't say that to the point that he didn't believe in his players, but just said it from the standpoint that, you know, it just doesn't automatically translate. So that being said, they don't have Sam Laporta tonight. I don't know if they're going to have Amon-Ra St. Brown tonight. The running game hasn't been the same. They lost their coordinator, who's blowing it up in Chicago, right? Not to mention Aaron Glenn, their defensive coordinator, but Ben Johnson, the former offensive coordinator, doing great things with the Bears. So a lot has changed for them. And then, as you mentioned, the division, you know, the Bears, the Packers, and the competition that they have from those two teams, it's just an incredible lift for them when they are not at full strength. That being said, the Cowboys have kind of found their stride. You beat the last, you beat the two Super Bowl teams, even though those two Super Bowl teams have had their issues, but they won those games and given themselves a chance, and they are playing better. The defense is better. It was so bad before that it had to get better. But you add Quinnen Williams and a couple other guys, Damarian Overshawn coming back, and then the Cowboys' offense has played pretty well all season. I think it's going to be very interesting. So that's the setup for tonight. The Cowboys are playing better football right now. Can that change tonight? Of course it can, because Jahmyr Gibbs, he can rip one off at any point. Jameson Williams, the Lions receiver. Jared Goff is actually playing pretty good football, but their offensive line, not as strong as it's been the past couple of years. So should be a barn burner.
Longtime NFL columnist, revered NFL writer, Jared Bell is with us here on Grant and Danny. Jared, specific to the NFC East here and kind of the pecking order moving forward, I mean, the Eagles are clearly a playoff team. We've talked about Dallas. Do you see Washington and New York as two teams that can kind of flip the switch next year? In the case of the Giants with the right head coaching hire and Jackson Dart with the Commanders, they've been great. Now they've been bad. There's some thought maybe that after an offseason they could get back with a softer schedule to last year. Like, how do you see the bottom two in this division?
Yeah, that's interesting. You mentioned the schedule, and what looks to be them drawing a softer schedule. We'll see next year when some of these teams in last place or in first place and all that stuff, right? But I think Washington, you know, I'd feel better about Washington just because of what we saw last year and knowing the special quarterback they have. But that being said, the Giants have, you know, as much to be excited about with their young players, their core players. Except for, I don't know, mate. We'll see if Abdul Carter shows up. But the point being that, you know, they've got some things to build around, but you don't know who the coach is going to be at this point. But at least with Washington, you've seen what can happen. And you saw it last year to a degree. And just like my point about the Lions, it just doesn't pick up and automatically go to continue the next year. But they've got so many of those pieces, including Jaden Daniels, that you've got to feel good about them.
Jared, thank you, buddy. Have a great weekend.
Okay, you too, guys. Thanks.
You got it,
be
man.
Good, Jared.
Hit that local 53 sounder, please. Okay, Tom, Shad covers them. That's why he's talking to us right now on the Beltway Blitz from Post Sports. Tom, it usually takes me like three scrolls to get through the entire Washington injury report. It's only like one reasonable screen it fits on. And the big news, Jaden Daniels, full participant of practice. What can you tell us?
Yeah, that's definitely a huge development. I mean, everything that we know about this kind of injury, you know, the big check mark was not having ligament damage, not having fractures. And from that point, my understanding is you just need to get it to a place where you can do your normal movements and there isn't a significant risk of re-dislocating it, basically. And so that's what they've been working on this week, you know, kind of the Dan Quinn called them the functional movements. So the fact that he's a full participant, I mean, certainly a good sign, I would think, for this weekend.
But does that mean that he's been cleared for contact? Because obviously he's not taking on contact in practice. In other words, could he be full again tomorrow and then Dan Quinn tells us he hasn't been cleared for contact? Or do you take him going from limited to full as meaning he was cleared for contact?
The clear for contact thing has gotten a little bit dicey for me, and I tweeted this out a couple days ago. I mean, I think essentially, like from a pragmatic standpoint, what's going to happen is he's going to be clear for contact and then he's going to play. Now, whether that happens, you know, tomorrow or whether that happens next week, I don't know. But I think that cleared for contact piece, because, you know, as you said, he's not taking hits in practice. I think that's kind of going to be a code for whether or not he plays.
Will anything be different when he does play? And I guess what I mean is I'm not expecting a brand new offense with different terminology and everything, but will we be able to see tangible adjustments both from he and Kingsbury and everybody in between to try to actually get him through more than like half of a game before getting hurt again?
Yeah, so Cliff Kingsbury said last week that, you know, he doesn't view it necessarily as his role to call things differently to kind of insulate Jaden, that, you know, obviously he's going to try to be smart and put him in the right positions, but kind of at the end of the day, it comes down to what Jaden Daniels is doing when he's out there on the field. I mean, we know this is something that he's talked about all year. He knows the importance of him being healthy, right? And I think it's just this push and pull between trying to make plays and also trying to do the smart thing and protect himself. But you know, looking back at, you know, this year compared to last year, they're running him a lot less on, you know, designed runs or kind of RPO type stuff. So it's not like, you know, he's being put in difficult positions. It kind of just comes down to, you know, scrambling and, you know, doing a good job of kind of throwing the ball away, getting out of bounds, and particularly in critical or not critical, I should say, situations. You know, you don't need to risk it all on first and 10 in the first quarter or whatever, in the same way that you might need to in the fourth quarter.
Other names that were full on the injury report, what stands out?
I think Javon Kinlaw is a good sign. You know, we weren't entirely sure what was going on with him missing practice yesterday, and then Frankie Louvu coming back. And then, you know, a big one obviously yesterday was Noah Brown being a full participant. And, you know, I know there are segments of the fan base where he's gotten a little bit of flack, but that is a huge piece to get back, you know, and to have you know, him out there with Terry, with Debo, with Treylon Burks now. You know, you've gone from a place, I don't know, a month and a half ago where you were really, really short there to now where you got to feel pretty good if you're Cliff Kingsbury in this offense. So, I think, you know, if you're Washington, you wish that this happened earlier in the season. But, yeah, it seems like they're finally starting to get healthy here for the stretch run.
Tom, what have been the tangible differences these last couple of weeks? And, again, it's not as if this defense has turned into the 2000 Ravens or something. But looking at this defense with Dan Quinn making the calls now, it's still the same play sheet in general, right? It's just, he's barking different things into the headset. But what have kind of been some of the substantive differences we've seen over the last couple of weeks?
I mean, the biggest one on paper, I think, is just playing more zone. I think that's kind of where you have to start. I think ideally they want to be like a man press man team, but, you know, kind of shifting away from that and playing more zone here in the past couple weeks. And then I also go back to just the lack of predictability. You know, I think there was a little bit of predictability kind of at the tail end of Joe Witt's play calling tenure there, and they're doing some things in terms of disguising coverages and bringing blitzes from different places that are novel and make opposing offenses have to deal with, you know, kind of a different set of ideas. And then the other thing I would say, candidly, obviously they played some juggernauts, and the past two offenses that they've played have not been juggernauts, and the offense they're going to play Sunday is certainly not a juggernaut either. So I think that definitely helps with some of the numbers and stuff as well.
Tom Shad, Washington Post, check him out there. Tom, thank you, buddy. We appreciate you.
Thanks, Ash.
Thanks, Tom.
You got it. Let's get to the Jaden Daniels news next. He has been listed for the first time since suffering that elbow injury as a full participant in practice. It's only Thursday, which bodes very, very well for Sunday, but we don't yet know if he's been cleared for contact. So what do you make of that? Do you think this is a sign that he could actually return after we started to think that wasn't going to happen this weekend? Grant and Danny on the Fan.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Come to DSW for the shoes, stay for the fun. Because, let's be honest, if shoe shopping isn't fun, are you even doing it right? So go ahead, try something new. Try something different. Good different. Try something that feels like you. You know, the real you. And then definitely brag about it later. Because at DSW, you've got unlimited freedom to play. Find the shoes that get you at prices that get your budget at DSW stores or at DSW.com. Let us surprise you.
To remind you that 60% of sales on Amazon come from independent sellers, here's John from Devil Dog Pet Company.
We run our family business from Sterling Heights, Michigan, but we can reach customers all over the country thanks to Amazon. Good boy.
Shop small business on Amazon.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
You've built a killer sports podcast. You bring the heat every week, and you have a loyal audience. But when it comes to monetizing, you're still leaving too much on the table. That's where the Odyssey Creator Lab comes in. We host your show for free. No fees, no catch. You focus on delivering the play-by-play and hot takes, and our experienced sales team goes to work bringing in ad dollars. Let's turn those downloads into revenue. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and start making money from your podcast.
Welcome back, Grant and Danny on the Fan. Thank you for listening to the show. In 30 minutes, 5 o'clock, we'll kick off the stretch run here, taking you up to 6:30. What areas of the Commanders are you feeling best about going into 2026? Something we'll be discussing next hour. But how about this news? Jaden Daniels, a full participant in practice today, did not see this one coming. He had been listed as a limited participant dating back to early last week. And Dan Quinn just said yesterday that he would take kind of this part of the process all the way up to Friday. But they elevated him, was just sending some text trying to get some information. So here's kind of where I'm at on this and what I think this means. This does not mean he has been cleared for contact in the way that Dan Quinn keeps saying that when he's cleared for contact, that's kind of the last hurdle. Because there's no contact at practice. You could be a full participant in a non-contact practice and still not be cleared for contact. But for him to go from limited after days and days to full, there was a breakthrough. There is progress being made.
Yep.
That the trend is going in the right direction and things are now in line, I think, for the possibility of that clearance before the game and maybe him to play on Sunday. So I want to ask that to people right now. We'll open up the phones. You can get in and we'll answer these calls as they come in here at 800-636-1067. Get you on and off the line. But do you think we see Jaden Daniels against the Vikings after he was full go in practice on Thursday? There's very, very little precedent in this league for certainly a starting quarterback, but really for any player to go from limited to full Wednesday to Thursday and to not then play on Sunday. The caveat here is they could still have this thing. I don't want to say to hide behind. That sounds nefarious.
But kind of. Yeah.
But yeah, they could still say, well, he's not cleared for contact. He'll be practicing in full with us in these non-contact practices, but it might be until next week until he's cleared for contact. So it is a different thing.
The variable here, and again, this is, we've been doing this a lot, so we've gotten really good at it. The variable is, what does this step actually signify? Right? If this was a tight end, if this was a guard, you would feel much better, more confident being able to say, oh yeah, given the precedent of what you just mentioned, you don't go from limited to full and then backtrack unless there's some sort of setback, obviously unforeseen, but the normal course of events, you're escalating your work, which means you're gearing up to play. This special position is different. You could be a full participant in practice and never do a single drill, especially this at this point in the NFL season or any activity where anybody might lay a finger on you. And even if you did, you're the most protected person on the planet. You're like the Pope in the bubble. You know what I mean? Like nobody's touching you unless you want to get fined and have to face the wrath of the offensive lineman beating you up. So yeah, you could go through all that and still not play because it's the quarterback spot, and you know who knows what the timeline is for contact clearance and otherwise. But the fact is, he was able to do everything they asked to practice today means something. The variable is how much.
So here's how I'll sum it up then for people just jumping in the car. So the news is that Daniels, with the injury report just dropping from the team, was a full participant. The clarification is, this does not mean that Jaden Daniels has been cleared for contact yet. It does mean that he has made significant progress and is trending in the right direction. And this should give you hope that you see him on the field Sunday in Minnesota, but it does not make that return certain. Is that a good way to put it all?
Yes.
I think that's a way to...
Before this announcement versus after. It's now more likely that he plays.
So let's do our daily Brian Fantana Panda Watch move, where we've been all over the board here. Last week I had him in. This week I've had him out. You actually yesterday went way lower than me.
Yeah.
On Monday of this week, I think it was, maybe Tuesday, you had him playing, and I didn't. By yesterday, I gave him a 30 or so percent chance to play, and I think you were down around 10%.
I was around 10, because all it sounded like to me was Dan Quinn was trying not to say that. Like, he was just sitting there going, yeah, the return to play, and then, see, that's a game, and we're going to have them, the medical people, and he was just looking to not say he's not going to play. Like, that's what it felt like to me.
Well, we had a caller yesterday. I wish I remember who it was so that I could give him some credit. But they made such a good point when they said, Dan Quinn never really hides it when he knows.
You know, you think in a good way.
It, yes, yeah. Like Terry or Noah Brown. Vincent Akakik said it, so shout out Vince. With Daniels, you know, on the weeks where he's played, we've known it early in the week. The weeks where he wasn't, they did whatever this thing is that they're doing. And I actually think that's so true. So if the point is, if you're following the trend, then he's not going to play, that's probably correct. That's what the trend has been. You either say at the beginning of the week he's good to go, or he hasn't really gotten good to go as the week has gone on. But the flip side of this is, if they don't play him Sunday after he's full go Thursday, full go Friday, obviously he'd be full going a walkthrough, and then tomorrow, you know, Friday or Saturday or whatever, they say he hasn't been cleared for contact, so he's not going to play. Well, then, now the things I said yesterday, I'm doubling down on, that this is handled in just a dumb way. I don't mean how they're grading his health. I don't mean how they're evaluating him. I don't mean that they're not rushing him. I mean how they're doing this publicly. How they're answering the questions, how they're listing him at practice. You can list him limited by having him not take part in everything. You could just say, hey, we're sitting this drill out, Jaden. Hey, we're not going to do this series or whatever. Now you're limited. And you don't have, again, the reactionary assumption. With all due respect, this is not Drake Jackson. This is not your 53rd player on the depth chart who goes back and forth from the practice squad. This is a different thing.
Yeah.
This is the starting quarterback who everybody's monitoring every move of. When he's handing out turkeys, we're seeing what kind of brace is he wearing? Is he using his left hand? Is that a weird gait he's got doing this charity event? People were wondering last year. No, that's just how he walks. Okay, cool. What is he doing that for? Did he sneeze twice or once? Sometimes when he sneezes twice, it means he doesn't practice the next day. Like, that's the evaluation. You know that going in with a guy like this. So when you go limited to full, there's going to be a reaction. And if that happens on Thursday, only for them to not eventually have him get cleared, I will have even more of an issue with just the constant dog and pony show that they kind of feed into in a sense. But assuming they're not doing that, They're just, he made progress. He's feeling better. They think he's about to be cleared, or maybe he's on the precipice of clearance. They're expecting it on Friday or something. No harm, no foul. See you in Minneapolis. Yeah. 5-car back on the track.
So I'm still leaning towards he doesn't play, but I know this is a step forward towards that.
You think he could be in full practice for 3 straight days and not, and they wouldn't play him?
Yeah. I think it's possible. Again, I'm going to
maybe... Do you agree that that would be dumb?
Yo, for sure.
Also, by the way, you're taking significant reps presumably away from Mariota. I guess he could be a full participant and not getting all the first team reps.
Right. I care less about that, but the point stands. I mean, it is a data point. I mean, to me, that's kind of why you have a veteran like Mariota who may not need, as many starting reps to be good. I need Jaden. He's my priority. So I'll give him all the starting reps, even if he doesn't play. But that's my own little bias there. I know that's not the reality of things on the ground. I don't think they think of it that way. The way that you just laid out that I agree with, that I this is why I would recommend that they don't do it this way. In other words, I would try to set a date as best I possibly could, and if that date is missed, I would say why and then not have to do this whodunit. Maybe he won't, maybe he will, maybe I can interpret, was Dan Quinn smiling when he got to the podium, or you know, did he sit down with his right leg crossing over his left first, which means that he's in? I might even call it the Vince corollary, that it wasn't the, I can't wait, dude, we're back, he's back, it's awesome, the 5-car. He didn't do that. This is the, whenever they hide behind the return to play, we're not going to miss a mark, and the beat and the medical people have to do the thing. Because I think he can do everything in practice and not be a player. I don't think you could do that if you're a lineman. I don't think you could do that if you're a running back. If you are any player that's going to get contact, what they could have done yesterday was 20 minutes of 7-on-7, 20 minutes of you catch the ball and the next guy, the quarterback next to you, the quarterback next to you is catching the ball and you throw to a receiver. That's 20 minutes. Could have been another 20 minutes of you do the handoff. There's no contact anywhere for the quarterback there, right? Which, again, is different than everybody else. So I do think they could go through that exercise with him and then not have him play.
I guess they could. I think it would be pretty ridiculous to have him be a full practice participant for 3 practice sessions, albeit one being a Saturday walkthrough of sorts, only to then not have him play in the game. When you start listing him full go, and it's not like it's on Saturday in a walkthrough, in a legitimate NFL practice on a Thursday, you know the expectation you're giving is he just went from limited to full. That's a big step forward. That's progress in the right direction toward playing. And maybe they don't care about any of that. In fact, I know they don't care about any of this at all. But I do think it would be... further frustrating in how they've handled it. But we'll get to your calls on this next. Do you think Jaden Daniels plays against the Vikings? So you're saying you don't.
I still lean no.
You're at 10% that he plays yesterday. What are you at now?
48.
Okay.
Wild swings for me, by the way. Wild.
Yeah. I mean, that's why this whole thing is annoying. Because, frankly, it's just personal to us having to sit here and guess and speculate and no good information.
I mean, literally, it's like
out.
The sun was shining from the southeast, and there's a clue over there. We're doing like a Dan Brown novel over here.
This is the closest I've ever been to going full Doc Walker on an injury, where Doc's bit is like,
you won't.
When you're hurt, I'm not talking about you until you play again. I've always kind of not believed in that because there's so many things you've got to talk about other players. Having said that, I am exhausted by this. Not just this couple of days, but this season of the knee, the hamstring, now the elbow. And it's never clear. The information is never just provided. It's just so much guessing, and it's all half-truths and half-information. Again, they still have not said that he broke his rib last year. Let's not forget that.
Yeah.
Supposedly, as of what we know from them, he did not break his rib last year. Even though he told Justin Jefferson in a video he did at the Super Bowl or wherever he was, that commercial he was doing, that he broke his rib. So we know that we're not going to get all of the intel, and we're not supposed to. I don't need all the information. I just need to not be misled is kind of what I'm hoping for. And I'm guessing they're not misleading us. I'm guessing this means there's progress being made, that he's trending in the correct direction, that there's a better chance today, fairly significantly, that he plays on Sunday than there was yesterday. That's what it would seem when you go limited to full. I'm going to put him at, what did I have him at yesterday? 35%, something like that?
You were, yeah.
I'm now going to put him at 51% right now to play on Sunday.
Just over. You're where I was a couple of days ago. This is wild.
Yeah, we've now reversed positions, basically. Figure that out.
I'm so annoyed.
Grant and Danny with you on The Fan.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Come to DSW for the shoes, stay for the fun. Because, let's be honest, if shoe shopping isn't fun, are you even doing it right? So go ahead, try something new. Try something different. Good different. Try something that feels like you. You know, the real you. And then definitely brag about it later. Because at DSW, you've got unlimited freedom to play. Find the shoes that get you at prices that get your budget. At DSW stores or at DSW.com. Let us surprise you.
To remind you that 60% of sales on Amazon come from independent sellers, here's John from Devil Dog Pet Company.
We run our family business from Sterling Heights, Michigan, but we can reach customers all over the country thanks to Amazon. Good boy.
Shop small business on Amazon.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
You've built a killer sports podcast. You bring the heat every week, and you have a loyal audience. But when it comes to monetizing, you're still leaving too much on the table. That's where the Odyssey Creator Lab comes in. We host your show for free. No fees, no catch. You focus on delivering the play-by-play and hot takes, and our experienced sales team goes to work bringing in ad dollars. Let's turn those downloads into revenue. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and start making money from your podcast.
Welcome back, Grant and Danny on The Fan. We'll take you up to 6:30 tonight. Robert Mays of The Athletic stops by the show at 6 o'clock. Looking forward to catching up with him, previewing Thursday night football. We're headed to Minneapolis, and it sounds like there's now a chance again. Our emotions are being toyed with that we'll get to see Jaden Daniels operating the Washington offense when we get there after he was full go in practice. Wanted to take our first look at week 14 in the NFL. We'll start with the Thursday night slate to kick things off. Really good game. We've been talking about it. Cowboys and Lions. Loser leaves town. 6-5-1 Dallas. 7-5 Detroit. Winner is going to have a really good shot to make the wild card, specifically in Detroit's case. Loser is almost certainly not going to make the playoffs. Detroit has more margin for error here than Dallas does. But what's interesting is Dallas may benefit more from the win just because of their remaining schedule. Vikings, Chargers, Commanders, Giants. You could actually see them winning out the way they're playing offense.
Well, 100%. These are two teams that are kind of trending in different directions, right? Detroit's treading water, Dallas playing well, having, you know, best week ever here, most recently beating the Super Bowl winner and runner-up over the span of 5 days. They're dangerous, man, and their schedule's pretty easy.
One of the most important games of the NFL season so far, statistically, in terms of actual percentage chance of what it means for the playoffs. Steelers-Ravens, 1 o'clock kickoff in Baltimore this weekend. Both of these teams are 6-6 and really flawed. Steelers are going in the wrong direction. They've lost 2 in a row, 3 of 4. They've actually lost 5 of their last 7. They're just not very good. Aaron Rodgers, statistically, has been one of the least effective passers in the NFL, really, from the beginning of the season. Meanwhile, Baltimore's coming off of a terrible 32-14 loss Thanksgiving night. They had won 5 in a row before that, but they were favorites in that game. They should frankly, have six straight wins. If they lose to the Steelers, then you got to play the Bengals, who are trying to win out. Cincinnati's season's back on number one, and Baltimore's very possibly done. Now, you could possibly win this thing at 9-8, but at some point, it doesn't really matter if you win the division or not, if you're just not any good. And if they lose to Pittsburgh after getting blown out by Cincinnati, and they're sub-500 through 13 games, I think that's the conversation we need to start having about the Ravens.
Right, more less about like, hey, this playoff scenario versus we're just not particularly good. That goes for everybody. So this is how funny is this. I thought the AFC North would be what the NFC North is this year, right? Where you have two teams that are probably really good, one team that's frisky, pain in the butt, that was going to be Pittsburgh, and you know Cincinnati and Baltimore would duke it out. Obviously, it didn't go that way. Joe Burrow's injury, a major part of that for Cincinnati, but they weren't good otherwise, and the Ravens have been a mess. Even when they were winning, you're going, what is the matter with them? Just the offense looks broken. Defensively, they were a mess for half the year. Now that that's fixed, the offense is worse. They just can't get right. Someone has to win that division, and I wish they could just wipe it off the map for this year.
The Ravens are, let's see here, 5.5-point favorites at home in this game. I would have thought it was a little tighter, honestly, the way Baltimore played last week, maybe 3.5 or 4. But that's an indicator of what everybody thinks of the Steelers right now. That is a broken offense, and Rodgers has broken bones in his hand and is injury-riddled. Bengals-Bills has gotten more fun since last week, I'd say. Cincinnati with Joe Burrow coming back looked great against Baltimore. They hung 32. They doubled them up. The Bills have been susceptible to letdown spots. They've lost two of their last four, and they've lost to the Dolphins and the Texans while scoring an average of 16 points over the last month. They messed around for a half with Pittsburgh before blowing them out 26-7 last week. But if the Bengals can beat the Bills, I think we need to have a reality check on Buffalo.
Yep.
This is not their year because they're probably just not that good either. But also, don't look now. The Bengals are in the hunt. The way it works, because of the Steelers and the Ravens playing twice, they probably want those two teams to split those games. And then if they went out, their chances of making the playoffs would be like 30%. Actually, not bad. They've got to win out, which is a tall order. Bills, Ravens, Dolphins, Cardinals, Browns. They got to beat Buffalo first. This is the toughest game they've got left.
This is one of the two super high point totals this weekend. We got a little Big 12 action. 53.5 is your over-under in that Bengals-Bills game. Both offenses good. Both defenses bad. There's your recipe right there, right?
53.5?
Yeah. It's the second highest of the weekend behind tonight's game. Cowboys Lions.
I was going to say, tonight's has to be 55, right?
Yeah, 54.5, 55, depends on where you look. That's an important one for everybody. The Bills, at some point, good teams play good. And every time they take a step forward and look like the dominant group that could win a Super Bowl, they do something inexplicable and look awful. For the Bengals, there's no room for error, as you said.
A couple of other storylines. The Browns and Titans are playing. It's a terrible bet game, I get that, in Cleveland. But Miles Sanders is closing in on the all-time. Miles Garrett, rather. Miles Sanders is a running back who
he's out tonight for Detroit.
I haven't thought of him in like 9 years. But Miles Garrett is closing in on the all-time sacks record, number one. And number two, Shedeur Sanders. This is a chance to go out and play a good football game. You got the Tennessee Titans 1-11.
No excuse this week, right?
Put something good on tape here. Colts, Jaguars, 8-4. This is a matchup for the top of the AFC South. Leader, driver's seat spot up for grabs here going into the stretch run. Both of these teams will try to fend off the Houston Texans, who are hard-charging, best defense in football right now. They don't play till Sunday night football against the Chiefs. The Texans lose. They're in a bad spot anyway, but they would be two games back in the division with a loss to the Chiefs of whoever wins that Colts-Jaguars game.
And lost in the sauce there is this is a loser-leaves-town match for the Chiefs. If they're 6-7. Who knows what happens then? That's pretty much the end of the dynasty, right? They'd have to retool and reboot. But this is a massive one for them. They left themselves no room for error. We're talking about that a couple teams that have sort of been royalty in the AFC, most specifically. We're used to them being a 12, 13, 14 type win team, walking to the AFC title game. If they lose to the Chiefs, if they lose to the Texans, which, by the way, is very reasonable that they might, even though it's a home game for them, because the Texans' defense is nasty, offense doing just enough. You could see a 16-15 type rock fight type environment there with one AFC North team losing. Houston could gain some ground right there and be breathing down the necks of the two leaders.
I actually think this is the best weekend for football we've had all year in terms of matchups. And maybe that's just an indicator that we're getting late into the year.
With a lot of those division games, with a lot of stuff at stake, yeah.
But you start tonight. Cowboys-Lions is a great matchup. You mentioned the point total being so high. Steelers-Ravens is critical, both 6-6 leading the division. Bengals-Bills, I know the Bengals have a bad record, but if you look at the odds in that game, it's 5.5 points between the two teams, and Cincinnati all of a sudden is alive again. Then you've got Colts Jaguars at 8-4 to lead the South. Don't forget Bears Packers.
Yeah.
The winner of that game is maybe the one seed in the NFC and leading the North. Chicago's 9-3 at Lambeau Field, 8-3-1. Statement opportunity for them. And then we talked about the Texans and the Chiefs already. So there's really good games all over the place. Sneaky good Monday night game as well. Important for both teams. Eagles 8-4.
Yep.
Want to have a shot at the one seed in the NFC to come through the link. Meanwhile, the Chargers are 8-4. They're just trying to hold on to a playoff spot.
Trying to keep pace, yeah.
Normal injury situation. Justin Herbert up in the air now. He's dealing with a broken bone. I feel like something happens to him every year. This always is the Carbon Copy campaign. But both of those teams need that game.
Bears, Packers. Packers are favored by 6.5 at home. That smells like a we don't really believe you, Chicago, after their recent resume.
Look at the odds to make the playoffs. They still have the lowest odds in the NFC, I think, as the number one seed.
It's crazy.
Of all the teams currently in to actually get into the playoffs, I'm pretty sure they have the lowest
odds. As a few weeks ago, I get it. We're going, okay, yeah, right. They're a worse version. They're the NFC's Patriots. Come on. Really? This Bears team, really? What else could they do besides beat every team in front of them and look and getting better? They're playing better football as they go. I think the Packers should be favored in that game. It's up there at Lambeau. Green Bay's good. We know that, but I don't know. Touchdown favorite seems pretty long to me.
Danny and I had a disagreement on Christmas trees. It is the Christmas season, after all. We'll talk about that next on G&D.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
To remind you that 60% of sales on Amazon come from independent sellers, here's John from Devil Dog Pet Company.
We run our family business from Sterling Heights, Michigan, but we can reach customers all over the country thanks to Amazon. Good boy.
Shop small business on Amazon.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
You've built a killer sports podcast. You bring the heat every week, and you have a loyal audience. But when it comes to monetizing, you're still leaving too much on the table. That's where the Odyssey Creator Lab comes in. We host your show for free. No fees, no catch. You focus on delivering the play-by-play and hot takes, and our experienced sales team goes to work bringing in ad dollars. Let's turn those downloads into revenue. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and start making money from your podcast.
Welcome to Radio Rental. The scariest stories you've ever heard in your life. All told by real people. And off we go.
This wasn't a human being that I saw. There's something here in this house. Something not of this world.
There was a woman moving through the hall. I stepped back and I was completely alone.
Radio Rental is available now. Listen for free on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.